afternoon, coming live to you from beautiful downtown Occidental, California, the home of innovation in the beautiful state of California. It's the HR Examiner Radio Show. I'm your host, John Sumser, and today we are fortunate to have Danielle Weinblatt, who is the CEO of Take the Interview. And so how are you, Danielle? It's good to have you on.
Thank you so much. I'm doing very well today.
Are you sitting in New York City in that beautiful office looking out over the back of Times Square?
Exactly. I'm sitting in our conference room in New York City, and we have a gorgeous view of the New York Times building.
Well, I had the pleasure to be there earlier this year. It was a great thing. Why don't you introduce yourself to the audience and tell us some about your background, and then how you got to take the interview.
Sure. Again, I'm Danielle Weinblatt. I am one of the founders of a company called Take the Interview. My background is a bit interesting. So I found myself really fascinated with talent acquisition practices after working in operations at several portfolio companies of the private equity firm that I worked for. So, you know, the more in depth I went into the operations of these companies, the more I realized how important talent was to the success and the competitive advantage of these companies. So while I was at Harvard Business School, I decided to really begin exploring this field, this industry, how technology could change the landscape of talent acquisition, and then was fortunate enough to meet my other two co-founders, Ty Abernethy and Anthony Cintron, who joined the team. And so we began building what is Take the Interview today. So that's a little bit about my background, a little bit unorthodox, but it's led me to where I am today.
So I'm going to combine a couple of the questions that we talked about going over into a fat, juicy one. And one is, I want you to tell us some more about Take the Interview. When I look out at the market, there's a kajillion video interviewing companies, and they all say that what they do is make interviewing more flexible and save travel money, right? And I'll assume that you would say that about the company. I'm interested in what you guys are really doing and what makes you different from the rest of the people who are out there.
Yeah, great question. So we're actually not a video interviewing company. So I think that's where people just don't understand what TTI does. What we actually have built is a platform that solves a lot of challenges associated with the entire interview process. So from the moment a candidate applies, via the tracking system, and to the moment you extend them an offer, there are a lot of complications. And so Take the Interview is a platform that aims to solve a lot of those challenges associated with the interview. One way in which we do that involves leveraging the medium of video to solve some problems. Obviously, that happens when candidates are remote or when you need additional collaborators to weigh in or give their opinions about candidates prior to moving forward, potentially to streamline and reduce phone interviews or administrative work. Obviously, video is helpful there, but Take the Interview solves additional problems related to coordination, related to getting feedback from hiring managers back to the recruiting team quicker, as well as facilitating more transparency throughout the process. So you can have a lot of companies saying that they do video, and while video is great for certain organizations, it's not necessarily a one-size-fits-all. What TTI aims to do is solve the entire interview process and really change change what that means for organizations. And right now, there is no company doing what we do in that manner.
So say that in 20 words.
So Take the Interview is an interview management platform that helps organizations hire the best people in the most optimal way. We do that by helping organizations optimize their interview process using technology.
But that seems pretty compelling to me. I mean, it must be kind of jaw-dropping for a potential client when they get to that understanding if they're comparing you to the other players in the space.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, video is helpful. It certainly is. It has its benefits. But you need to think about video as part of your overall strategy. What are you trying to accomplish? You know, what are your goals? You know, does it even make sense to leverage video? Would it be better to schedule an in-person for this interview or a phone screen? You know, we aim to provide a platform that can be as flexible as an organization needs to achieve their goals. So ultimately, where they end up getting a lot more value from utilizing Take the Interview is when they are thinking more strategically about how this fits in. If they're already convinced that video is a plug and play and that it, you know, will make them more efficient, and they know how to use it and they don't care about thinking holistically how it would work and how they can measure the ROI, then they can use anything. You know, we could use Skype in certain circumstances for interviews, or you could use another platform. But if you're really trying to drive change, if you're really trying to understand whether this is going to improve your process over time, you're going to want to go with a company like ours.
Got it. So let me see if I can spit it back and make sure that I have it right. So your view is that interviewing is the technology, and interviewing can happen in any of a variety of points in the hiring workflow, in any of a variety of ways, and that there are tactics and techniques that are more useful in one setting versus another setting. So Take the Interview provides the tool set and the framework and recommendations maybe to get to the right decision for you and your culture about which form of interviewing to use at what point in the process.
Yeah, that's absolutely right. And then we track a lot of that data and we streamline the process for companies.
Okay, so that means you're building a pretty interesting expertise in where and when to do interviewing and what to do with the results of the interview process.
That's right. And I think a lot of companies don't think about their interviewing process in the best way. I think it's important for every single company that cares about its people, that cares about hiring the best talent, to have an optimal process for doing this, whether it be the number of interviews that are conducted, when those interviews are conducted, the types of candidates that they're funneling in through this process, the experience for those candidates. I mean, there's numerous factors that need to be considered when you think about your overall hiring process. You know, a lot of companies, the candidates that apply for positions at their firms are customers, are people that resonate with their brand. So it's really important that, you know, companies are thinking about that as they set up and structure their interviews.
Okay. So one of my questions that I ask on every one of these radio shows, I've been asking them for almost 2 years now, is the central skill, what makes somebody a great HR person or a great recruiter, is being able to look at a human being and make a judgment about their potential for fitting into a specific job and their future potential for growing and developing inside of a company. And it's a very difficult skill to learn, and the feedback loops on it are sometimes years long. So you have, I think, a fair number of people inside of the industry who ought to be better at this particular skill, judging the potential and the reality of people and getting them in the right slot, than we actually have. Do you think that you have in this tool some ways of helping that skill develop in recruiters and HR people?
Absolutely, because when you think about the feedback that we capture, which is one of the most important things that we do, you can review that data over time and figure out whether the assessment of a candidate was the appropriate assessment and how does that assessment align with other members of your team. I think one of the benefits about being able to aggregate a lot of feedback about an interview, structure the parameters by which you're evaluating candidates, I actually think that that makes for better interviewers over time. Obviously, one needs to go back and review that data and, you know, try and figure out, you know, how to make the best use of it. But whenever you have a product or you have a way of capturing feedback where you're able to review it and then compare the assessment of that candidate to their performance on the job, I think that you can start to understand patterns and start to understand how to develop people to become better interviewers. But it just, you know, it takes a really advanced organization, and I think it takes someone who's willing to make the effort to do that.
So I'm going to guess that I'm now talking about the roadmap rather than the product, and you could probably correct me. But that kind of suggests that an interesting bit of functionality would be sort of a real-time supervisory watch of how a recruiter is conducting an interview, or a real-time watch of how the decision-making process works, rather than rear view looking, because it's contemporary technology and because you can sort of do what they mean when they say this may be tape recorded for training purposes. But do you have that kind of capacity yet, or are you thinking about that kind of capacity to give a supervisor or a senior person who's got better judgment the ability to put the hand on the shoulder of a recruiter who is learning?
Absolutely. So one of the things that we offer is the ability to utilize recording for dynamic conversations. So whether you would want to have a dynamic video conversation with an actual candidate and go back and review annotations and review assessments, later, or, whether you want to utilize it for internal purposes for training, we have that functionality already embedded into our platform. I think, more of what I was alluding to was, understanding the feedback from the interview process and from the hiring process and trying to bridge the gap between those assessments and performance reviews. I don't think enough companies do that. And I think, if you were able to start to understand how assessments translate to performance, and whether you could become better at assessing fit, assessing potential during that interview process, I think that would make for a very interesting discussion.
So let me take you down that road a little bit, and we didn't prepare for this, so I apologize if this feels a little like
okay.
Whatever, but it seems to me that when I look at performance management systems in an awful lot of companies, that's really how you game the merit plan, right? So the object of the performance management company is to distribute a raise pool that's inadequate amongst the people and have a defensible set of reasons for doing it. So, so I've known over the years lots of first-line supervisors whose weekend job is fitting the scores that they're going to assign people to a distribution curve that allows them to put the raises where they want to put the raises rather than deliver performance feedback. And so you end up, I think, with two different kinds of companies doing performance management. One kind where it's documentation so you can justify the raise, and the other kind where people are actually interested in improving performance.
Yep.
How do you imagine using the process that you just talked about in an environment where performance management is more of a game than a tool?
That's a very interesting question. Yeah, I mean, I don't think performance management has to be, you know, a set of criteria by which you measure candidates. Right. So I don't necessarily think you need to, you know, export scores and try and compare that to assessments during the interview process. I think there are other measures that are probably better gauges of performance. I definitely think for companies that where attrition could be a problem, I think tenure obviously should come into play. I definitely think there are other measurements like promotions, you know, current title versus when the person started. So, you know, when I talk about trying to understand, can you during an interview process really assess someone's potential? Can you become better at identifying that star? I don't necessarily believe that performance needs to be a set of metrics or rubrics to identify whether someone should get paid out a bonus. I think there are other measurements of fit, of performance at a company that can be leveraged in order to try and figure out whether you can identify that person again. Of which, of course, I think, you know, tenure, consistency, change in title, responsibility, accountability, I think a lot of those measurements, which may not be captured in a performance review, I think those should be considered.
That's good, and that really tees up the next question, which is I'd love to hear you talk about the future of hiring as you see it over time. How are things going to change? And then I have a spot question at the end that's something that's just started coming up. But talk about the future of recruiting. What's that going to look like?
Yeah, so there are a couple of things that we're seeing, you know, and I don't have any specific opinion on them right now, so I don't want to, you know, state whether this is the right or wrong way, but it's definitely interesting. So one of the things that we're starting to see is that the hiring manager is becoming way more accountable for the activities within talent acquisition. So we were talking about this recently. Bill Borman, actually, I have to give the credit to him for talking about this, you know, but he's seen demonstrable benefits from actually making hiring managers be responsible for metrics related to recruiting. So a company like Oracle was able to reduce time to fill from 60 days to 16 by actually having the hiring managers receive chargebacks and receive you know, actual penalties if they were taking too long to interview and hire key people. So that's really interesting to me. Another thing that I've seen related to hiring manager accountability has been actually having talent acquisition report or recruiting teams report to functional areas. So more functional specifications. So you have a sales recruitment organization, you have a marketing recruitment organization, you have a technology recruitment organization versus having talent acquisition and then having recruiters who then specialize in functional areas report to that global head of talent. You're seeing now that there is potential to have the members of the talent acquisition team report to the VP of sales, which I think is really interesting because that aligns a lot of the objectives.
That's really interesting.
Yeah, so I was with a client about a month ago, and we were talking about a specific set of recruiting team members reporting to the VP of sales, not the head of talent acquisition. So really interesting. And of course you have a leader, you have someone who leads the team of internal recruiters, but we're talking about having that lead report to the VP of sales, not report to the VP of talent, who then reports to the VP of HR. So very interesting sort of dynamic accountability, functional expertise that's happening. Another thing that we're seeing, is more of this focus on the candidate. So luckily, the economy has shifted. Back when I was in private equity, the market had taken a tremendous downturn, and it was certainly a difficult environment for people looking for opportunities, people looking for jobs. A lot of people were out of work. What we're starting to see now is that it's changing more to be not an applicant-focused search, but more of a candidate-focused search. So I think that that's great. I think that what that means is that more companies are putting emphasis on the overall candidate experience. They're thinking more about getting feedback to these candidates. They're really, really trying to improve yield. And that's yield in terms of their assessments of candidates on the front end to make their process more efficient, and it's yield in terms of candidates accepting offers once they've been extended to them. So I love this sort of shift in the mindset that we're getting back to hiring real talent and the candidate starts to have more control. I think it's just continues to be more collaborative. And again, I don't have an opinion on whether this is good or bad. I think in some ways it's great to be more collaborative, great to have flat structures, more consensus-driven decision-making, because you ultimately know if you extend an offer to a candidate that everyone on the team is going to like them, was part of the decision. But the problem also with consensus-driven decision-making is that it can bloat processes, particularly when you have hiring managers that travel, that are, very busy, that are always in meetings. Trying to get every single person on a team to weigh in, opine on a candidate can be very difficult, and it can increase time to fill key roles. So I think that's where, technology can really be helpful in some respects. So those are some of the things that I continue to see and that I'm seeing today.
So I've noticed something, and I just want to run it by you, and maybe you have a big idea about it, and maybe it's a passing thought. It seems to me that there is a widening gap between what big companies or companies with big brands, if they're not big companies. So I'd put NPR in this category with General Motors. What they're interested about in the recruiting process and what's possible and feasible for the vast majority of employers, I think the number is 97% of employers have fewer than 100 employees, and so they don't have the resources to build a candidate experience, and they don't have the implicit traffic necessary to drive people to a mobile recruiting site, and the costs of those technologies are prohibitive if you are the vast majority of recruiters in the vast majority of places where people work. That last 3% of entities that hire people, there may be as many as 10,000 locations in that universe. And they have brands, and they have traffic, and they have resources, and they have recruiters, and they have all that stuff. It's beginning to seem to me like what it means to be hiring and to be recruiting is going to be different in those two piles. Does that make any sense to you?
I see what you're trying to say, but I think what we need to do, I think for the smaller organizations, they have to think about investing in talent. So I understand that they're not going to have the resources to maybe build out the sexiest mobile application for candidates. But if the smaller organizations don't invest in candidate experience, if they don't put resources into talent acquisition, they're going to fall behind competitively vis-a-vis their peers. So you say that sometimes they can't afford to do it. I'm going to say that they can't afford not to, because the best organizations recruit the best people to be at them and to lead them. So, you know, I think it's really important for people to do as much as they can, given their limited budgets or their limited resources, to improve candidate experience, to build that brand, to seek out speaking events, to align themselves with the right type of college campuses that specialize in training, you know, students for skills that they need. I don't think companies that are 100 employees or less can afford not to invest behind talent.
That's well. I think maybe sometime you and I ought to just spend a half an hour on this radio show debating that, because I couldn't disagree with you more. But we don't have time to do the back and forth. So I appreciate your perspective on that. We are coming to the close of what's gone by very fast. It's been a wonderful half hour with you, Danielle. Any closing thoughts?
It's been great chatting with you, John. Always a pleasure. No closing thoughts on my end. This has been a great conversation. Always love to chat with you and debate about, you know, things that I'm passionate about. I appreciate you recognizing, you know, our passion, our research, our execution for the past several years. It's been great to build this company, you know, with your help, your perspective and insight. So thank you.
Well, thank you. So tell people how to find you. taketheinterview.com and like that.
Yeah, our company is taketheinterview.com. You can go to our website. I am always open to also getting emails from people, so I'll give my email address. It's dweinblatt@taketheinterview.com. So feel free to email me with your perspectives, your feedback, your opinions about what we spoke about today. I'd love to hear from you.
Well, okay, so thanks, Danielle. It's been great to have you. Again, we've had Danielle Weinblatt, the CEO of taketheinterview.com. If you get a chance, stop by their website. They have a very interesting case study about NBC that is a model for what case studies might be in the future. This is John Sumser. We're signing off. Have a great weekend. This has been HR Examiner Radio.